Three Peeps in a Podcast.
We were at the ground. I watched it on TV with lots of other people, and worst first half I've seen in a number of years. Everyone was absolutely clueless, didn't know their job, didn't know what they were doing, looked like 11 people that had met for the first time. Accurate?
Yeah, you couldn't send that up any better, Patch. It was embarrassing. I was disgusted, really. Everything you've just said there, they looked like strangers. No idea. They didn't seem to know what, you know, like they hadn't worked on anything. No leaders. You'd have thought Huddersfield were the team that were going for a promotion place as opposed to us.
Yeah, they said that on the commentary. They said in the first sort of 25 minutes that you would not know that it was that way round. And even a commentator on Sky was saying, how is this football team battling for the playoffs?
And that's, you know, that is exactly the case. And I'm not calling for Lee Johnson's head, and I don't know whether I am or I'm not really, but tonight that looked like a team that just had no idea. They didn't seem motivated. It was probably the worst performance I can remember in a number of years, not just the first half, the second half as well. You got players like Callas, who looks a shadow of the player last season. And how Taylor Moore has been sent out on loan and Benkovic is playing is beyond me. Henriksen.
Do you think it's just because of his price tag? Is it just because of the 13 million price tag that some person has slapped on him and think, right, he's got to play?
Yeah, and I think there's probably even a deal that's in there. Both him and Henriksen against Derby look very good. But the last two games against teams who really pressed us and didn't allow us, you know, or didn't sort of play it slowly like Derby did, they've looked really, really ordinary. And I just talking to my brother on the phone, I don't think there's a single player that comes out of that with any credit from City's side.
No, I agree. And, you know, we were speaking at the weekend and I was looking forward to seeing Tommy Rowe get a chance in that slot, and he didn't retake it either.
No, I mean, he looked like a League One midfielder from that point of view, but there's just no creativity in the middle of the pitch, Patch. And, you know, I look at it and I know we all have the players that we like, and probably we're a little bit biased when it comes to them, but how Casey Palmer does not get on that pitch tonight is absolutely beyond me.
Calling for him to get a game, isn't it?
Oh my God, you know, and it's a game we know we need to win if we've got the aspirations that we've got, and we didn't play anywhere like a team that thought they could. You know, West Brom's one thing, they're a quality side, but we made Huddersfield look as good as West Brom tonight.
They
dominated. And if Lee Johnson comes out and says, I thought the first 20 minutes we were okay, or no, you've watched a different game now. And it's not about supporting the team or anything like that. There was some, I don't know what we had there, 200-300, maybe a few more, you know, and they were singing. But we had nothing to sing about tonight, absolutely nothing. There were no players out there showed any kind of passion. I've got two dodgy knees and I can pass the ball better than Jack Hunt tonight. I was embarrassed.
Yeah, you're not far wrong. And the passes were going astray. The urgency wasn't there. And to be fair, that's been a problem for a number of games for me, is the urgency. Every time they got the ball, I was like, pass. It was all dawdling on the ball, slow, backwards, sideways. Patterson had a few chances to go forward late in the second half, and he went backwards and ended up back with Bentley, and it was like the 90th minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a side lacking in confidence, but for me, that has to come down to the manager and the coaching staff to get their confidence. You know, they're coached in a pattern of play that means they build like they do, where it is backwards and sideways. And there was nothing, you know. I mean, I know Fomara scored. It was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a scramble in. He kind of, I mean, difficult because it was the far end. He kind of got it over the line. Other than that, the one Fomara shot that hit the post, there was nothing there. You know, I feel sorry for Naki Wells. Naki Wells looks a poor player in that team at the moment.
You could sense his frustration at the end of the first half. He just thought, what am I doing here? He didn't get the service. He didn't get the ball to his feet once, I don't think, in the first half.
No. And I'd like Lee Johnson to show the same passion towards the players and encouragement and everything else as he does when he's given the fourth official a rollicking.
Someone said that on a chat that I was on. They wish he would show the same amount of passion. Towards he does the four officials. I mean, I think he basically sniffed a draw after that goal, and one decision went against us with Weimann going down the left hand side and somehow getting a foul against him, and he went nuts, didn't he?
Yeah, and the referee was poor. I don't like this ref. He doesn't seem to know when to make a decision. But again, no two ways about it. Huddersfield totally and totally utterly deserved to win the game. Probably by another two or three goals. You know, we were never really in that game at all. And that's embarrassing for a team that's going for promotion against a team that's struggling in the wrong end of the table. They've dominated the game. And I'm at the point where I just don't know, Patch, now what the answer is.
I know. I'm with you. I've been pro Johnson and to take it as a bit of a blip. You write Leeds and West Brom off, but if he can't put 11 players out to get a result against Huddersfield away as well, which is probably a preference for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really starting to ask questions. But again, it'll go back to the positives. Yeah, they were only 3 or 4 points off of fifth and sixth place somehow still. Other than that, can you draw any other positives?
I've not seen the results tonight. What were the results tonight, mate?
just calling them up now. Cardiff 0, Forest 1. Huddersfield, obviously. Luton Town 2, Brentford 1. QPR 2, Derby County 1. West Brom 2, Preston 0. So we are in 7th place on 53. Preston on 56. Brentford on 56. And Fulham on 57 with a game in hand. So just, no real change other than Forest have gone up a bit.
You look at that, but that is not a team playing like they're 3 points from a playoff position.
No.
You know, we got a tough game against Millwall the weekend. Steve Lansdowne's not going to make any decision, and rightly so probably, before the end of the season. But I'm seeing a team now that just look like they're devoid of any ideas. You've got to say, how is your £8 million centre-half not your captain? You know, you've got a goalkeeper who's captain, and not even a particularly vocal goalkeeper from that point of view. So what is a captain in your team? There's no leadership out there at all. I keep saying it, but there isn't.
I'd never pick a goalkeeper to be captain. How can you affect a game from that far back?
I agree. And there's no one seems to encourage each other as well out there. Maybe it comes back to a confidence thing again, but it just was, like I said, for me, the worst performance I can remember in a number of years.
Let's get a view of Tony Wilkins. Tony, how you doing, mate?
Hello, Pat. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear. Yeah, go for it. What's your assessment?
Hello, mate. You okay?
I'm sick as a pig after watching that, but not as sick in this pig in this cold as what you probably are.
Well, at least I can see the snow on Saddleworth Moor as I'm driving along, mate. So, yeah.
To be honest, I was on BCFM earlier on, talking like I do on the midweek sports bar about the city, and I'm absolutely staggered how Leeds going on another run. You sign a player like Naki Wells, and like you said, he looks completely lost in the team. and he don't know his best 11. Everyone was screaming for two up front. We got two up front and it ain't working. The massive thing problem we got is that midfield is a shambles.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It is. Nagy is not the answer. I'm sorry. He's a small little international player who is out of his depth in this league. I don't know what's going on with Senko. He ain't in the squad in the last two games. Bringing Tommy Rowe in, dropping Eliasson. I'm sorry, but Eliasson, the last four games, has been awful.
I agree. I was amazed tonight that he chose Eliasson over O'Dowda. On current form, I thought O'Dowda didn't do too bad the weekend. A game was taken off, but for me at the moment, Nick Eliasson is he looks like a player who's had his head turned by an agent or what have you, but he's just not performing.
I didn't recognise that team tonight. I'm sorry, I just didn't recognise any of the players communicating with each other, playing with each other. I've been critical of Bentley lately, and I was staggered to see him announced as captain. Like you, I would have said Senraf should have been the captain. But I'm lost. I'm absolutely puggled by that performance tonight.
I think they were lost too. That's part of the problem. They look lost. They didn't look like they'd worked on anything. I don't know what patterns of play they've worked on. Fundamentally, for me at the moment, we can't seem to string two forward passes together. There's just no patterns of play at all. And that comes down to the coach, the manager, the head coach and his coaching team. And Cristiano said at the weekend, I listened to him on the way in, they're not playing with any passion at the moment, and they're not. There was no urgency there at all. No, you know, lads, we got a chance of promotion here, a chance of the Premiership. You know, let's get, no, nothing at all tonight. Who could have picked 11 fat blokes out the stand, me being one of them with two dodgy knees, and you'd have put more of a passionate performance in there than most of them tonight?
Well, about 40 minutes ago, well, no, about half an hour ago, I put a tweet out saying, Bristol City reminds me of a kitchen with too many cooks, and not one of them knows how to boil an egg.
Yeah.
Well, that was certainly the case tonight. As we said, the first 45 minutes, it was, as you say, there was no identity, and it's an identity that Lee Johnson obviously comes out and says we want to get these players in and get them playing the way we play. I don't know what the answer is going into the Millwall game either, because we've almost rolled every dice we can. In terms of formation and personnel.
You know that he'll make more changes because that's the way that Lee takes a defeat, and I suppose that's a fairly natural thing to do, but he will make more changes. It'll probably be another three or four. Williams will probably come back in because he's been chastised for the mistake he made the weekend. Nash, I agree with what you're saying, Tony, about Nash, although again, when he came on tonight, he did more in the... you know, the second half, then Henriksen did all the first half. And I look at it and think, oh my God, we're crying out for Marlon Pack. Even a bad Marlon Pack would walk into that side. But he would walk into that side. It's embarrassing.
That's probably someone put a tweet out about 20 minutes ago saying that was the worst performance of Preston away and the tanking we got a few years ago.
I was there as well, and I have to say, I think it probably was, because the opposition tonight is a team that are low on confidence themselves, and they bossed it. They ran us ragged.
Well, they did look low on confidence.
They ran us ragged. And I said to Patch before he joined, it should have been three or four clear again. They've had one disallowed, a post. Yeah.
To be honest, after 25 minutes... they looked like the team that were seventh, and we were the team that was in the bottom six or seven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, even the commentators were saying that on Sky.
I'm sorry,
but
that's just not acceptable. It's not acceptable even at Championship level. I wouldn't have accepted that sort of performance like in League One level.
No.
He got all his hands up.
There's a few of us sort of chatting in the stands. And when you look at those players on paper, they are better than what they're doing at the moment. And that has to come down to the man management. You know, again, you Callum O'Dowda, and I'll use him as an example. He comes in, he plays whatever he did 60 minutes Saturday. not in the squad. Casey Palmer, and I keep saying it, is the most creative player we've got, really. He doesn't get on a pitch tonight in a team that just had no creativity. There was nothing there. And Casey Palmer doesn't get on that pitch. He brings Andy Wyman on, who we all know what Andy Wyman's going to do. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'd like Lee to explain it to me, because, you know...
He won't. I've been one of the biggest advocates for Lee over the last 4 years. I went for a bit of a rough patch a few years ago where I stuck by him when he went for that 11-match streak, and then went on another streak where he was winning everything. And I said I proved everyone wrong, and so did Lee. But it is now after 4 years wearing a bit thin.
I'll play the role of what Jeff said earlier last night on the radio to someone that was on a similar line of, we're still 3 points off the playoffs, and if you just said at the start of the season that's where we'd be after tonight's game, you still would take it. So from that perspective, you know, I know the football's not great and all of that sort of stuff. It's he's still in with a shot of getting in the playoffs, but as we know watching the games, it doesn't look like that's going to happen, and the way we're playing isn't positive enough, isn't creative enough to do that with the players that are being picked.
It's the level of performances.
You're right.
It's the football. The football's awful.
The thing, Patch, I get what you're saying, and I know you're playing devil's advocate with it, but someone phoned out the weekend and said the same. You know, we'd have taken this at the start of the season. Yeah, we would have, but we shouldn't be where we are in the league. I don't think we're playing like a team seventh anyway. You know, you do earn the points, and very rarely the league lies where you end up. But at the moment, we're playing nowhere near like a team who's seventh. We don't look like a team that's capable of getting into the playoffs. And it's no good to say, you know, we'd have taken, you know, snapped your hand off sort of thing, because we're wasting the opportunity. And within a matter of weeks, we'll be 10th or 11th, and then all the happy clappers will be saying, oh, maybe it is time. So tonight, for me, has been a big, almost a straw that breaks the camel's back. And I'm not going to sack him tonight, but that performance, following on from West Brom, following on from Leeds, following on from Birmingham, we've hit the worst run of form at the wrong time of the season, when other teams, you know, all right, he might turn around and say, well, other teams aren't pulling away, but I bet they're not playing like we're playing.
Yeah, I mean, I would want some assurance that Lee does know what he's doing now, or, you know, at least comes out with something constructive or holds. I think the best thing he could do tonight is to come out, hold his hands up and say, I got the first half's team selection and formation completely wrong. And I think then he would save some face, go into the Millwall game, try and get something out of that, and see where he is next week.
He's got to get something Saturday, because the knives have been sharpening since the Leeds game. The murmurs in the stands started in the Birmingham game, and then the Leeds game, and then after Saturday. Don't get me wrong, West Brom by far superior in every department, and no one can deny that. They made a first 20 minute very good performance by Bristol City, and then just turned the game on its head completely. But I'm sorry, this run of form and the poor football is not acceptable, especially when a week, and I'm going to bring it up, where they put all the season tickets up and ask everyone to renew their season tickets.
Didn't this happen last year?
Well, at the moment, it's going to backfire on them a little bit, because I don't think people are going to renew. And I've seen a few people saying, do you know what? I've been going for 40, 50 years, but I'm not watching that sort of football. And that's the truth. All right, I'm lucky tonight. I'm travelling across to Liverpool now because I've got a meeting tomorrow. But there's a lot of people travelling home tonight, having spent a lot of money, really cold, and we've just witnessed absolute rubbish. And you can take being beaten by a better team or a bad decision or all of that, but to not be able to pass the ball 10 yards, basic stuff, not acceptable. Not acceptable. And I agree with Tony that, you know, they ought to look at that and go, do you know what? Maybe we ought to consider a refund there, because that was embarrassing.
Absolutely. It wouldn't cost them, it wouldn't actually cost them that much. What was it, 200 people, 300?
Yeah,
it's
maybe
gonna be a lot cheaper. It's going to be a lot cheaper to refund those fans than produce 30 or 40 mismatched anniversary shirts.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
I bought
one of them as well.
I bought one just to put it up in the loft.
Yeah.
I'll use it as a draft excluder tonight if I was you.
It's depressing, mate. That's the thing with it. And we've all seen City over the years plenty of times. But when you see a team that just seems to... I mean, that was a team playing like they were safe and had nothing to play for. There was just no commitment or passion. And again, I'll say it, doing the basics. And that's just not acceptable. Not acceptable. Mm.
It'd be interesting to see what Bentley comes out and says as captain for the night.
But what will they say, Tone? What they've trotted out for the last 5-6 weeks, we know we should do better, but we're still in with a chance. I'd rather they come out and say, do you know what, at the moment, we look a million miles from being capable, and it's up to us. And there were fans in there tonight shouting at other fans about standing up and cheering, and I'm one of those that says... If you show me something on the pitch, then absolutely you get my 100% backing. There was nothing there tonight. No one, you know, I'm calling out Jack Hunt, but dear oh dear, you know, if you can't pass the ball 10 yards up the line, Jay De Silva was as bad the other side many times. But again, we'll keep coming back to it. Central midfield is shocking. And, you know, Joe Morel and Liam Walsh, they're better than any of the ones that we're talking about tonight, Tommy Wynn, Lash or Henriksen.
I've been screaming since Christmas to bring Joe Morel back to the club.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying he's the answer, but, you know, I just think that Morel, Walsh, Taylor Moore are better than the players that are playing in their position at the moment.
Well, if you put them on the team sheet for Saturday, I guarantee you they'll put more effort in than what that mob have done tonight.
Yeah.
Matt and Tony, I've got a chap on the line, Rob Blamey, who wants to have a few words. Just let him speak for a sec.
Yeah, no worries.
Rob, you're live. Go for it.
Hello, mate. You're right. Right, Tony.
Hello, Rob.
Hello, mate. I'm just listening into all of that, and to be honest, there's where do you start? There are so many points to be made there that, I mean, I think most of us. Probably thinking after some of the awful 4-4-2 displays we've seen recently, probably actually thought, do you know what? Wing backs is probably the way to go. But time and time again, whichever he does, it doesn't take long for it to look wrong. And I think what he's ended up with, if we're perfectly honest, and it's an easy thing to say, but I genuinely don't think he knows what he's doing now. And he's panicking from one game to another, just picking a different 11, hoping, literally hoping, that something will click. There's no right, this is what I believe in, this is what I'm going to do, this is the system my players will understand, this is, you know... You talk about a classic 4-4-2, well, a classic 4-4-2 and successful sides is when the fullback and the winger... have a partnership. The two in the middle of the park have a partnership, and it's born out of familiarity of playing with each other.
Rob, it's just a quick one. When you say the word familiarity, are you seeing familiarity now between Lee Johnson and what happened to his dad 10 years ago? Because it's exactly the same.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right, Tone. But it is. As I said, we all know the partnerships, and I hark back to, you know, a Tinian Murray situation where Tinian never even had to look what Murray was doing. He knew what run he would be making and when he'd be making it. And he would play passes instinctively. And all this chopping and changing basically means if you're playing football and you don't know who's alongside you, what they're doing, you always have to take an extra touch, which immediately slows down your play. Yeah. And it gives the opposition time to get in and close you down. And
the biggest disappointment for me, Rob, is the lack of urgency. And I've banged on about that for the last three or four shows that we've done. It's one of the main differences between us and the Premier League and Leeds and West Brom and a couple of other teams is that lack of urgency to pick the pass quickly, short pass, and get the ball moving. It's all so slow. How many times do you see Bentley tonight get the ball and try and get the urgency, trying to get the pace going, and there was literally nothing for him to throw it to?
Well, I know, and it was... Yeah, well. Go on,
Matt.
Sorry, with what you're saying there, that's the embarrassing thing. They can't seem to make a 5-10 yard pass, and that then prompts the urgency, but they keep misplacing it. I can't see the team that did the high press against, you know, the likes of Man United, Man City. Yes, we had Bobby Reid, and yes, we had the likes of Joe Bryan. But if you've got a style of play, you buy players that will play that style. We're a million miles from that now. A million miles from it.
Yeah. And everyone's mentioned it. There's all this talk that Johnson always brings out about identity. I mean, it's ironic that we couldn't be further from having an identity.
No, you're right.
there is nothing. You, as I said, you would go... And that season you're referring to... We got out of the traps like an express train, and you had, if people recall, we actually had Pisano right back and Brownhill, what I would say was a traditional right midfielder as opposed to a winger. And then on the other wing, we did have what was more of a winger. And if you liken it to a really successful side, then look at something like Beckham and Giggs. Beckham was never a winger, but he was a very effective wide midfielder. Giggs obviously was an out-and-out winger, and it worked, and we had this pattern. Pisano would go around Brownhill and give us the width that way. And you're right, we had a pattern, and OK, you'll come up against the odd team that will research you and they'll do everything to close you down. But if you're that good at what you're doing, you're very difficult to stop.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I don't know. I mean, again, you look at... It's a real quandary, because I really want him to be successful with Lee, because you know how much he cares about the club. Mm. But, you know, there's too many clashes with players that he falls out with. The creative players, he just doesn't get the best out of. And it just isn't working at the moment. And Steve Lansdowne, he spent a lot of money again. He did in January. He's got to look at it and say... You know, really, what do I want now? I'm putting all this money in. What do I want? Because it's just not working.
And the creativity.
He wants him to succeed as bad as you say in there, Matt, as well. And I think that's something that he's hanging on to. And you know, we're talking an hour, just under an hour after what we've probably seen as one of the worst performances for quite a while. So we're all a little bit heightened on emotion. I know we probably will feel like this again tomorrow morning, but I just think it's one of those things where there's still that desire for Lee Johnson to continue and try and get into that playoff spot. I don't think anything's going to happen between now and the end of the season in terms of changing the manager, because who else is there to come in at this late stage? And could that be affected in anyone's opinion? Is there, if we sack Lee Johnson tomorrow and someone else comes in, you know, it's going to take a miracle worker to turn it around as quickly as we need it to?
I'll give you somebody who could come straight in.
I don't know what you're
going
to
say as well.
Yourself?
No, yourself? Well, yeah, there's that obviously. But no, I mean, there's a bloke with a very positive, forward-thinking philosophy who's just been chased after by Blackpool.
Who's that?
Carl Robinson.
Is, where is he now?
He's at Oxford.
He's at Oxford.
He's not who I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say.
Well, everyone was thinking he was going to say Chris Houghton, because that's what everyone.
Well, Chris Houghton, to be fair, that would be a very progressive appointment as well. But,
Carl Robinson bring Matt Taylor back with him?
Yeah, hopefully. But I think the reason why we all wanted Johnson to succeed is the romanticism of unearthing somebody who isn't the old guard type, and we think, right, yeah, we're one step ahead of as a club, and we've got a dynamic young manager, blah blah blah. But I think Lee Johnson is getting a little bit exposed now, and as I said, I think he's running out of ideas, if not already. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good word. Yeah, it is.
The idealism and the same routines of coming out. We've got to get that identity back. Lee, we've heard all this before. Your dad would put your dad's notebook down from 10 years ago. This is exactly what your dad was saying 10 years ago. And then Steve Cottrell found that notebook, popping the table up in the office, and then he started using that excuse and those excuses, and then that came a bit. Steve Cottrell on the backside, and that cost him his job. And 4 years down the later, Lee, there's knives out for you, and that's it. Those excuses, there's knives out for Lee Johnson now.
There was another comparison that somebody who sort of ran his course and ran his race, and that was Danny Wilson.
Yeah.
And the straw that broke the camel's back was the approach against Brighton, wasn't it, in the playoff final, where we'd absolutely ripped Brighton to pieces home and away, playing a certain way, and then he tried to get too clever, ended up with this ridiculously defensive side with Lita on the bench, and that was it. It was like, well, Danny Wilson, you've had 4 seasons to get us to where we want to go, and ultimately you failed in delivering it. And I think it just needs to come down to those basics. Progression of a place here or a place there makes no difference when you start the next season in the same division.
No, you're right.
Right, chaps, I've got some reaction in from Lee Johnson here, if you want it.
Do we have to?
Here we go. A very difficult watch. It's one of those that doesn't sit well in my stomach at all, and I have to feel that I apologise to the travelling fans. I think a couple of the new players need to have a look at themselves for different reasons and quickly get into the programme. But at the same time, it's a team game. I'm definitely not digging them out on an individual basis. Well, you sort of just did, but...
yeah, absolutely.
And the fact you took two of them off at half-time.
Yeah, exactly.
However, saying that, watching that first 20 minutes... I was thinking we didn't have enough subs because players were getting booked left, right, and centre. Hendrickson didn't get booked for about 3 or 4 different incidences in the first quarter of an hour. Then Hunt gets booked and then does what he did at Brentford and sort of tries to chuck somebody into the crowd. He was lucky not to get sent off. Then Baker does one of his classic challenges. And fortunately, he got the ball. And you just think, what are these people doing?
And then he gave away the penalty as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was Baker that gave away the penalty.
Here's one for you. How many? Here's one for you, Patrick.
Go on, Matt.
How many of us know City fans who've been going for years who've stopped going because of the current run? And how often would that have happened for a club that were 3 points off the playoffs? So that says something. If people are staying away when you are only 3 points off the playoffs, it should be a time when all of your fan base gets behind you, they draw you into it. Mm. And yet I know people who have been going for years and years who are now staying away because the football is so turgid.
There's nothing for people to hang their hat on. But it's just there's nothing. And if you look back over the season, I reckon there's been about four or five times, particularly at home, where we've been, OK, we're up against this lesser side. If we win tonight, we go top two. Or if we win tonight, we go into the playoffs. And we've blown every single opportunity. Probably because, as I've said many a time, and it's been mentioned not so long ago tonight, the league position, I have to say, I think, is a complete false economy. And you, I think it might be Matt was saying, oh, in a few weeks' time, we could be 10th or 11th. I actually think we could be there by the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know what the... Again, with some of the results, I don't know what the teams behind us are like. But, I, you know, it is one of those things where you say, you know, you are where you are based on the points you've accumulated, and that's true. But our performances have not been a team that are, you know, a playoff promotion team. They're just not.
So far from it.
Yeah.
Well, look, just to say it about performances, if City did sneak into the playoffs, if say we're only 3 points off of, and then we secure the playoff place, what possible chance with the football that we've been playing the last 6 months have we got if we go to the Premier League?
Have we got no chance?
No, it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? I mean, you know, all of us wouldn't have thought Sheffield United would be in with a shout of playing Champions League football next year. You know, I think there would be a real turnaround in the squad. But again, you know, is his track record with signings at the moment, what's that stacking up like? How much money did we spend on, you know, Palmer, and he's on the bench, you know? I keep coming back to Palmer, it's boring, but I'm really 55-45 at the minute with Lee. He's really upset me tonight.
Yeah.
Because you ain't the only one. Like 95 of the fan base have had a face of four tonight.
I think Matt's got the most right to be upset having travelled all the way up there, but
it's only bird related anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. So Saturday then, Matt, we're going to build the team around Palmer, yeah?
I don't know if Mill. I mean, I've said all that, but Mill was a different kettle of fish with the way they played. But you know, I looked tonight, and Callas was terrible tonight. Baker, and I cried out saying he'd be the first name, was terrible tonight. So I just don't know. At the moment, it feels to me you can pick any 11 and you just don't know what sort of performance you're going to get from them. And that's just down to, again, what motivation have they got? What are they working on? Palmer would be in the team for me, absolutely. Really, anyone else, I haven't got a clue, mate.
Going back to your 11, like you could pick any 11, you wouldn't know what 11 to pick. That comes back to, I think that's the circumstance, that none of the players, from one game to the next, actually know what their role is.
Yeah.
Because they're not playing with the same players in the same formation.
To be honest, I would pick after Bristol City ladies team up against that lot tonight. And look what they're doing.
Yeah, they're not doing too well, can they?
It's another game, though, tonight, where I've come away from it and I've gone, if I had to pick man of the match there for City, I do not know who I would pick. And that's probably been the case half a dozen times this season, if not more. You know, I really struggle to say, not even 6 and 7s out of 10. I'm struggling to think of players who did a 5 out of 10 performance tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm
probably,
back in my brain.
Probably the player that cut the oranges at half time, I expect we got man of the match.
Yeah.
Coach driver.
Yeah.
All right,
Chad.
Go on, Pat.
Go on, Rob. I'm just gonna say, reflecting on some of the team choices, and what we've also got here is Johnson almost displaying a complete flip and complete U-turn on his so-say belief in certain players. So Williams obviously made a shocking error on Saturday, yet for pretty much most of the season, Johnson's been saying how amazing he's been. Patterson was so out of favour, he was farmed off to Derby, and now he's undroppable.
Yeah.
you know, it's like, what message does anyone actually get and believe in? Because it's almost, we're talking about Palmer, like we say, I totally agree. Palmer is potentially the most disruptive player we've got, and we haven't really done that much to accommodate him. And now, and like Tony said, like Gary, his father did, he seems to have fallen out of favour, because he's got something, he's a bit creative, he expresses himself, and that's a little bit shaking the tree too much.
I liken it a bit to fantasy football, right? At the start of the season, where you pick your team, you're happy with your team, then you start to tinker with it, and yeah. You think, and then the player that you transfer out suddenly gets a hat trick the following week, and you think, oh shit, I better get him back in. So there's that sort of mentality going on where just you need to just stick with a 12, 13, not a 19. And set the way you're going to play. Obviously, if you're playing against a slightly different team, you're going to tweak it a little bit. But the personnel need to remain. Start building those little partnerships in with Wells, Palmer, Wells, Jiju, that sort of triangle. Your relationship across the back three, etc. It just needs to be a bit more stable and just stop tinkering it. And I think then at least you know the way you're playing. Yeah, go for it.
You mentioned tinkering there. Can I just throw something into Lee Johnson's interview tonight after the game?
Yeah,
he's actually come out and said he does not know how to get us out of this rut. Isn't that slightly worrying?
That is a bit of a strange thing.
that's the same. That's the same deathbed that John Ward signed up 4 years ago, when we were struggling at the bottom of what I think was the same league. And he openly came out with after a match, I don't know what else to do. Well, if you don't, you need to go. You're signing your own resignation or sacking there.
Let's bloody hope that the solution ain't Benny
Leonardson
again. But in all seriousness,
or Tony Pulis.
If we picked a team now for Saturday. So, would we all go Bentley in goal?
No, I wouldn't.
So I would.
Nicky Mampea.
Rob, what would you go?
Yeah, I'd probably still stick with Bentley.
Yeah.
I'd stick with Bentley as well. That's another tinkering. That's another tinkering too far if you're changing him.
Yeah, what would you go right back?
I'd still go Hunt, but I'd tell him to wind his neck in.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably stick with Hunt.
See, for me, I wouldn't. I think he's been so poor the last couple of games. He wouldn't be in my team the weekend. I would go Pereira, and I don't overly rate him. But
okay, but I wouldn't argue with that.
Can I ask a question on that right back? Is Zach Viner still at the club?
Yeah, he's injured.
Yeah, he's not fit.
Yeah, he's got a shoulder injury. But again, I'll go back. Is Pisano not better than what we're seeing at the moment?
100%.
Such a massive loss.
Yeah, centre half. What would you go centre? Assuming we play 4-4-2 for argument's sake. Centre halves.
Baker and Williams.
Yeah, absolutely. The best centre half partnership we've had this season. So that's a no-brainer for me.
I don't know. I would have said Baker and Williams and Moore for me.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, Taylor Moore would have been in my team as well. You're right, but yeah, in terms of what's there now. Left back obviously is De Silva, isn't it? There's no one else really. Tommy Rowe's not.
To be fair, De Silva has been a consistent six, if not higher. So he's since he's come back, he's been the one that you can't really criticise.
So I'm going to throw in an interesting thing about Tommy Rowe then, because he's the only other consideration for left back.
Yeah.
Patch, you made a very good point. That Tommy Rowe, up until the point that De Silva got himself fit, was potentially one of our players of the season at left back.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Now, this just is, again, a very big Johnsonism. Suddenly, Tommy Rowe, from being miles out of the squad, suddenly finds his way back into the squad at the weekend or over the last couple of games. And then Johnson decides he is the central midfield solution.
Yeah.
How left field and random is that for starters. But if he said to Tommy Rowe, you can have a run back at left back, much like what was said about Pereira just then, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. And somebody like De Silva at the moment, being a young lad, and also the fact that he won't have played this level for that many games, maybe he needs a rest.
Well, maybe he could go across to right back.
I hate that player playing wrong side.
I'd play him left midfield. I'd put De Silva left midfield, because going forward, he's been on one of our most creative options.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't disagree with that. I got a bit of a bugbear with Tommy Rowe. I think Tommy Rowe's a 4 and a 5 out of 10. So he wouldn't have been anywhere near my player of the season. and I've said that all the way through, and I have been a bit of a lone voice with it, but I think he's a squad player and nothing more than that.
Let me rephrase that then, Matt. I'd say surprise of the season when he started, from going from someone who they signed who was going to be a squad player at best to playing the first 12 to 15 games.
Yeah.
And you know, playing well. Doing what was asked of him, getting a couple of goals. You know, surprise of the season to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree. Yeah, and I think he was consistent and probably one of our most consistent players. But so the problem position then, what are we doing in midfield?
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what though, I like. So you've kind of shot yourself in the foot there, Matt, because you may have just stumbled across a really good solution. And that
that's what I do.
So you can have your De Silva left midfield ahead of Tommy Rowe, and then I'm gonna stick, even though he's gone horribly off the boil in the last few games, I would stick with Eliasson on the right. But because Eliasson isn't good at tracking back, and 4-4-2 we worry about getting overrun, the benefit of having De Silva left midfield is he's got a bit more defensiveness in him that he could tuck into a supplement to make the three.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
So I kind of like your Rowe, De Silva left-hand side, really.
Okay, so where are we going? Centre midfield then? Who's your two in the middle? You bringing Massengo backing out of the cold?
So I got to say, for me, having seen... You know, he got called out a little bit in Leeds. I think he was the best midfielder on the day. And I think Henriksen at the moment is terrible. Nash can't seem to pass the ball. So, yeah, I think Massengo, it looks like Corey's probably not fit, or maybe he wasn't played tonight so that he might feature the weekend. But, yeah, Massengo...
Massengo and Palmer then, isn't it?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Massengo.
No, I'm not... So I wouldn't ever do that, purely because it is too lightweight. We're not playing FIFA all the bloody kids on City Till I Die and all that sort of stuff. And there's your problem, isn't it? I suppose if you play a 4-4-2, where do you get Palmer into it? What you could do if you wanted to be a little bit more objective is you could still have a two-man midfield and you could play 4-4-1-1, and you say, well, Naki Wells, you ain't up to speed with us yet, and Fam starts for me all day long, and maybe Naki's your bench player for a bit.
I don't see how you can
have an 11 without the championship player of the month in January and top goal scorer and Fami, who's our most important player at defending corners and attacking corners.
At the moment with Fam, the last couple of games especially, he's probably been, I know he scored tonight, but I think I could have put that in. More important to us defensively than he has been at the other end of the pitch, because it's gone back to bouncing off him a little bit. But yeah, I'm with you a little bit on the Naki Wells one. I think if you spent that money, it's early days to give him a message that, do you know what, in the moment, you're not doing it. But in truth, he's not doing it in the moment, so it is a difficult one.
So do, do we reshape this a different way then? And think, okay, so if you want... Okay, so we're talking about the triumvirate of Wells, Palmer and Juju, because that's the only thing that hasn't actually been tried yet.
Yeah.
What is our formation that allows you to do that? Is it some sort of 4-2-3-1? Is it a 4... You know, how do you get to there?
I reckon it'd be a 4-5-1, personally.
Okay.
It's like a mathematical equation.
Yes. So you're 4-5-1 tone. Who's your one?
What, your main centre forward, Mackie Wells. They're gonna have Pham.
So Pham's not in.
I would have Pham as the ball winner, and then that, you've got your flick ons there for Wells to run onto, and you've got Palmer playing behind him as well.
Yeah. So Pham's your number 9 then, yeah.
Yeah, your number 9. And then you've got your flick on through your number 9 and your runner the pitch, and you've got the place. You've got Wells going on every flick on.
I might be tempted to play Wells more on the right hand side, but you know, talking about it, I agree that if you play Eliasson in there, then I think probably one of Wells or Dijon to accommodate Palmer doesn't play. And I don't think he'd do that. I don't think he likes Palmer. I don't think he rates Palmer enough. So I don't think Palmer will be starting on Saturday.
So but if I was the owner of the club and I spent £8 million on a footballer, or whatever he cost Palmer, all right, and the manager don't like him, I'd be fuming. I'd be tamping. You've got this player earning all this money and he won't play it.
I was amazed he signed. I have to say it. I saw him away at Hull, one of the last games of the season. I might have been the last game of the season last year. And in the way that he was sort of waving to the fans, you thought, there's no way he's staying.
Yeah.
You know, he was in and out of the team. And he's been in and out of the team again this season. And again, he's another player for me that's not been given. I'd be interested to see how many games he's actually started on, you know, a run of games. He seems to come in, he might play a game, not do anything, and therefore he's then either not in the squad, or he's on the bench and maybe gets 10 minutes when we're 2-0 down, or...
Well, I think now, Matt, he has to get a chance because we've run out of options. And you mentioned about his relationship that he could build with Wells and that he maybe had with Wells in the past, not to mention his relationship that he's got with Jada Silva as well. I remember that working quite well towards the end of last season, so... You know, you've got a couple of little partnerships emerging that aren't even on the pitch.
Although I don't know if anyone actually saw, but apparently the Wells Palmer relationship. Apparently, Palmer never set up one goal for Mackie Wells at Huddersfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like what do they call it?
You just pissed on my parade, haven't you?
It's apparently it's the biggest urban myth going.
But then he was a lot younger then, wasn't he, Palmer? I think he's a different player now, but he's another one I just don't think is given an opportunity, and I think he's another creative player that Lee struggles to get the best out of. You know, Callum O'Dowd, what's happened to the Callum O'Dowd that scored the goal that he did at Norwich? And, I don't know. And that again makes me question more sort of Lee and what he's doing for the team at the moment. They don't look a happy, cohesive team.
I got another suggestion then, and I'm going to go back to... So if you think of other creative central midfielders that have an opportunity to... get by without doing, let's say, their defensive share, how do they do it in a 4-4-2? And I'll go back to that Man United thing, and that, by the way, I can't stand Man United like anyone can, but...
Don't throw
anyone in. Matt's a glory boy, mine.
I've followed him since 76. So.
Right, I'll still go back to the Beckham Giggs thing then. And how did they played 4-4-2, and you know, so Beckham would help out, I guess, defensively, because Giggs was more of a winger. But then in the middle you'd have Scholes. Now everyone knew Scholes couldn't tackle
It wasn't his game, was it? But he was probably one of the most creative central midfielders. And he got away with it because he had Keane alongside him. So we look at you look at Bristol City, and let's, for argument's sake, say that Brownhill was still there. That season when, again, we're going back to the Man United, Man City thing, and Brownhill played as a wide midfielder in a 4-4-2, he gave us that added stability so that that midfield two could become a midfield three. So if we're going to play, if we're going to play Eliasson for all of his threat as a winger,
the person on the opposite side still needs to fulfil a wide role but needs to be able to come inside. So we talked about Rowan De Silva. Perhaps the other way to think about it is De Silva starts at left back. Rowe, who's got more of a presence, actually plays left midfield. Who can then tuck in alongside Palmer and Massengo?
Yeah.
And then you can still have your two up front.
Yeah, potentially. And also you've got the thing that Rowe and De Silva can, you know, can swap places in.
Yeah.
He needs to really look at it. He needs to, you know, like I said, you've got players. He's accommodating Kalas at the moment because of what we've spent on Kalas. But Kalas is nowhere near the player that he was last season. He just isn't. And Baker was poor tonight, and I like Nathan Baker. I'd still stick with him on Saturday, but it's the creativity for me at the moment that we're really lacking. There's just nothing there at all. And that's why, for me, you know, Palmer does get in there. Jamie's gone off the ball the last couple of games. He was trying today again. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've got a ticket for Saturday, and I've got to say I'm not really looking forward to it.
I'll ask a question, and it will hopefully provoke the answer that it's a leading question. If we were to sell any of our squad in 1 year's time for the most money, who would it be?
It's between Massengo and Eliasson, probably, for me, or De Silva.
Yeah, Eliasson won't be there within a year. He'll have already gone.
So Massengo, probably.
Yeah,
I would probably say
Massengo
or De Silva.
Exactly. So let's. I think that's what we need to remember. Is I'm sure we've seen. Probably all of us went to Fulham.
Yeah.
You know, the walking through that park after the game, the Fulham fans could not rave enough about Hanno Massengo.
Yeah.
And we've seen games QPR away in the cup patch you and I went to in early season. He was just a different level, wasn't he?
Well,
yeah,
I'm going to pick another player.
That was his first game, actually, wasn't it? Was that his debut at QPR one?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I think it was.
And so there really is a bloke who should, I think, will be a creative force. Because I think he's just of another level. He's sadly been out of form. I'll give you that. But I think that's what we need to be.
That's going to happen, though. It is age, isn't it? You're not going to churn out eight out of ten performances every week.
No, but we need to stick. But I think this is where we need to stick with him, and where Johnson's perhaps sold him down the river a little bit.
Mm.
And he's probably lost. Johnson's probably contributed to Massengo losing confidence.
I mean, I don't know if there's any illness with Massengo, but. How many of us would have been picking Adam Nash on current form over Massengo?
None of us. I would.
No.
Yeah, assuming he's.
But saying that as well, when Nash started in the early part of the season, he was superb as well. So what's happened? You know, what's happened to those two players?
Is it player management?
You know,
Nash is injured though. He's got a. They know he needs an ankle operation and he'll be out for 3 months. Well, you're playing the bloke and making him look poor. Mm. And as a result, fans are losing faith in him. But just purely on current performances, if Massengo's fit, Massengo gets in over Nash. You know, they're not... I don't think either's the creative player that you really want in there. I don't think Henriksen's physical enough at the moment. So again, if Corey Smith's fit, Corey Smith's again the first midfielder that I would put in there.
So you know, Matt, you know you didn't say you're the lone voice about Tommy Rowe.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm the lone voice about Corey Smith. And a la Life of Brian, don't think he's the Messiah.
He's a very naughty boy, though.
Yeah.
Talking of naughty boys, I'm actually going to cut out now, chaps. Early start. So
thanks for joining us, Tony.
Keep our fingers crossed for Saturday. Good to talk.
All the best, mate.
Cheers, Tony.
Cheers, James.
Yes, it's an interesting one, Rob. I mean, I do really like Corey Smith, and again, it probably comes down to that bias thing. But we were talking in stands tonight. I don't think he's going to be offered a new contract.
Right,
really?
Only because nothing's been said about it.
When's it up? At the end of this season?
Yeah. He was given a year's extension because of obviously being out injured. But I'm pretty sure he's out of contract in the summer. And because of the lack of noise, I just have a bit of a sneaky feeling he might not be offered one, which would surprise me, because again...
I would be very surprised. For me, if Smith was fit, and him playing alongside Masengo for a prolonged period of time, imagine how good they'd both become.
Yeah, right. So this is where I can...
The only leader we've got is the current side.
I can buy a ticket on Corey Smith fully fit running around. Definitely. Yeah. I can buy a ticket for that. What I've struggled with is we're talking about it now and we're putting all our creative eggs in the Palmer basket.
Yeah.
But Palmer to me is more of a number 10 type creative midfielder.
Yeah,
and where I think we have been bereft for numerous seasons is the crop of midfielders that we've had not being creative enough. So the one that you could argue was creative, again, for me, that was a fallacy. That was Pack. Because Pack, and Patch will back me up on this, Pack did all his work in the middle of the two centre-halves. He didn't really ever hurt opposition. He just got some good passing stats in. You know, he didn't play killer passes. He didn't drive through the middle of the pitch. But he was what you'd say as a player, a passer. Corey Smith will run around to the end of the earth for you, but he won't end a season with many assists or many goals.
No, I agree. Yeah,
Brownhill. Yes, can score some goals, but again, I wouldn't say he was a particularly creative player. Again, an energetic runner, and these are the kind of players Johnson likes. But where's our midfield general, the bloke who's going to make us tick and make us purr? And I just don't think we've had one of those since Paul Hartley.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're missing a trick. You take somebody like Bannon at Sheffield Wednesday, and I know they've tailed off a bit, but he's the kind of player that City haven't had for a while.
He's the kind of player we'll sign in the summer, though, when we know that he's coming to the end of his career. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like 3 seasons too late, but it's a shame both Joe Morrell and Liam Walsh are 5'4" players, because I think if they were a little bit bigger... Again, I'll go back to it. There are two players that, for me, their first thought is a forward thought.
Yeah.
And Lee Johnson doesn't like... He's not allowing that in his team. He's, you know, for whatever reason, both of those two players have come in. They've not let us down, and yet they've been the names that have been pulled out of the side and have now been sent off on loan. Same as Taylor Moore. Taylor Moore was arguably, you know, right up there in terms of performances this season. At a difficult time with injuries and everything else, I was amazed he was sent out on loan. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, my understanding was it was the homegrown thing, so they could bring Viner back as a Taylor Moore like for like, and then not have to have Semenyo on the bench.
Yeah.
That was what I thought the theory was. But interesting you say about the forward thinking of Joe Morrell and Liam Walsh, and they're both farmed out. So that's one way of getting forward passes out of your team.
Yeah.
And the other way is look at the two we're talking about who remain at the club. Masengo and Nadj, who both started in a really positive fashion, and we got excited about each of them individually.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now that's gone from their game.
Well,
that's a scary thing, isn't it?
Like I'm saying, with O'Dowder, it's gone. You know, where's Callum O'Dowder gone as well? And again, another thing we're sort of thinking: is it that motivational man management thing with Lee? He couldn't get it with Lee Tomlin, and you know, he wasn't the only one. I know Warnock could, but Tomlin was absolutely ripping it up under Neil Harris at Cardiff.
Yeah,
he's injured now, and hopefully misses the derby, which is one thing. But it's another thing with Lee. I just think his man management. You know, you, it's a stupid comparison, but you look at Jurgen Klopp and the way that, all right, they're successful at the moment, they're winning everything, but you get the feeling that the Liverpool players would leave their misses for Jurgen Klopp. Would sell their house, all the rest of it. They would do anything for him. I don't see that with Lee Johnson and his players.
No.
They don't seem to particularly
like... Interestingly enough, David Smith, a journalist, has just put on Twitter, Lee Johnson under pressure from the board due to an argument between him and a group of players in the changing room after tonight's game, feeling that he's starting to lose the squad. Next game is a must win.
Well, if that is the case, then that absolutely goes back to Tone's point and the echoes of Gary, because did Gary have Ivan Sproul up by the throat after the Hammer throat or something? So... and then, you know, Lee's like that. He does have a habit of calling certain players out. In, I go back to it, and I don't know if it's politically correct or not, but he's got a bit of a small man syndrome for me. And he just doesn't, he's not getting the best out of these players at the moment. And that's man management, let alone the coaching, the fact they're not passing. But the buck stops with him. And as I say, tonight has been a real eye-opener and change of tact for me. If tonight I read that he'd gone, I'd be disappointed, because I think he is innovative, he does a lot of good things, but I'd also think, fundamentally, he's not doing his job at the moment. We're not getting performances, we're losing fans, fans won't renew their season ticket at the moment on the back of it.
No.
And Steve Lansdowne's a businessman. You know, he might like Lee Johnson, he might like the family, but he's had 4 years, an awful lot of money. Yes, he's got money back in, but, you know, you can't really say, I suppose Bobby Reid, he takes credit for, because he got him playing in a different position. But Joe Bryan wasn't his player.
No.
You know, he was already there before, and Webster was, so I give him credit for that. But, yeah, I'm thoroughly depressed tonight. And luckily, you've saved me a trip across the M62 on the inn. So I'm actually in Liverpool now, safe and sane. So thank you very much.
Yeah, but that's even worse.
Maybe, but still.
Well, yeah, Tony. I think sorry, Matt. I think we need to probably draw it to a close now, because we've got you to Liverpool. That was the end.
You have. Thank you. Appreciate it, boys. Yeah. Okay.
Nice one.
And thanks, Rob, for joining us as well. Thanks to Tony for his input. And chaps, things can only get better. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Have a nice D-ream.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers. See ya.